Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All of our texters. But occasionally a text comes along that just, I sit back, I give an appreciative nod, like, well done. Kind of like the teacher to the student type thing. Well done. All right, here you go. Here's one. Ready? This is from Jason. Stink, I don't know what you were watching last year. Obviously staring at pictures of Brady's hiney. But the Broncos with great quarterback play last year win 10 games. You're wrong. It's okay.
With great quarterback play.
With great quarterback play.
So you're comparing what Brady did in Tampa. Like if Brady came here, you think he would win 10 games with this same roster?
Yes, that's how I read that text. And others like that we've received. Yeah.
So,
all right. Yeah. So, 10. Yes. 10 and a minimum is
so
the feeling out there.
Okay. So Mike Evans is
not me,
not you, Mike Evans, but Mike Evans and Tim Patrick are on level playing field is what you're telling me. Jerry Jeudy and Chris Godwin are on level playing field is what you're telling me. Fill in the blank. Antonio Brown.
Do we have a Devin White?
Right. Antonio Brown and Scotty Miller are the equal of KJ Hamler.
Yeah.
That's what you tell me. You're telling me that, Tristan Wirfs, who was phenomenal, is the same as our right tackle. The inside three guys, Jensen is the nastiest center in football. I mean, filthy.
He is nasty.
He and Lloyd Cushenberry are the same.
I love Jensen. Always looking to pick a fight right on the sidelines.
Gronkowski going to the Hall of Fame and one of the best inline blockers in all of football, regardless of position, is the same as Noah Fant. Did you realize how stupid that text sounds right now as I'm just destroying it? Devin White and Levante David are the same as
Jewel and
Alexander, right?
Yeah.
JPP and Shaq Barrett are the same as Malik Reed and Bradley Chubb. And Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, who got injured, Nunez Roches.
Who?
Nunez Roches.
God, I'm so jealous that you can roll your R's like that. Can't do it.
Golston are the same as our inside guys. They're DBs. They're DBs. Carlton Davis. Oh gosh, what's the kid's name? Murphy Bunting. Carlton Davis. Yeah. Jamel Dean. Oh, by the way, a guy that should be arguably the rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, Antoine Winfield Jr., Whitehead. Have you lost your mind?
It's a popular opinion out there.
Oh,
Mark. It's a very popular opinion that this team is just a quarterback away from being a 10-11 win team.
Because, you know why it's a popular opinion? Because you don't, hey, listen, I'm not going to hold you accountable for not knowing stuff. Okay,
is not going to go over well.
I'm not going to hold you accountable for not knowing anything. Like, I'm sure that you work in a field that I don't know anything about, and I'm not going to pretend to be an expert at it, right? Pick a field. I'm not going to tell you that you don't know anything about it. In this particular instance, I'm going to tell you, you don't know jack. If you think good quarterback play wins 10 games on this roster with this coaching staff. I'm going to say, give me a break. Stop comparing yourself to Tampa.
This is important. This is very important because as I was listening to George Payton talk yesterday, I know he reiterated the idea that this could be a sleeping giant, but he kind of walked it back a little bit, saying, yeah, there's some young pieces in place. There's a healthy salary cap situation that we're in right now, but he didn't issue any timetables. You know, he didn't say we're championship driven. We're Super Bowl or bust. Again, it goes back to why I'm so impressed by this guy. He didn't come out and make grand pronouncements. He sounds like somebody who's going to be understated and just kind of go about his business, and he's going to play things close to the vest. I like that. I don't need pithy statements being made by, you know, coaches and quarterbacks and general managers. Just go out and you know, have a vision and build this thing and build it the right way. But I got the sense listening to him that he looks at this and says, yeah, we're a couple years away. And he didn't take the bait, by the way, when asked about whether or not it's all about matching up with Kansas City. Here's what he had to say.
Obviously, they're a great football team. I just think we have to look from within and just build this thing the best we can. You know, you start looking outside. Obviously, we're aware of how good this division is, you know, with Kansas City, and you got some up-and-coming teams, you know, with the Raiders and the Chargers. But, you know, you need to build within first. And we know what's out there. But we really have to build this football team. Look from within. And I think that's how you build it.
So, for me, like, you have to, again, that goes back to the build with from within is drafting the right players, developing the correct players, build your football team from the inside out, and create the best football team you can create. They went to the playoffs with six different quarterbacks. You know how you do that? By building the rest of your football organization, by having a philosophy. You're always going to try to get a quarterback, right? You should always be in the quarterback development business. You got to be in that business. But hey, just because there's five guys in the first round doesn't mean that all five of those guys are going to the Hall of Fame. Your philosophy can't be, we'll just take any of them. They'll all work out. It doesn't work. You have to have a set of tenets that you believe in. You have to have the principles that you adhere to. You have to have guys that fit in what you're trying to do. And you have to have guys that you can mold into what you want as a football team. So, like, that to me is what he's saying. And I agree philosophically. I agree with what he believes in.
That's really quickly from a teacher. Hold on a second. I got to read this one really quick. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Hold. I hate when this refreshes.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go. Mark is like my middle schoolers who say blah, 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 followed by I win, you lose.
Well, listen, if your middle schoolers are right like I am. Hey, man, have I not been right?
You've been right, Mark. You've been right.
Yeah.
You've been right.
I just got this one. Maybe not Tom Brady, but you put Aaron Rodgers in here and they win 12.
Aaron Rodgers was 6-9-1 3 years ago.
Yeah.
6-9-1. Just 3 years ago. Okay, coming up, I thought George Payton just about aced his first test. There was one little red flag that popped up for me. Share it with you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
You know, I want to move on with the show. I've got a I got a plan. I got one of these rundowns.
The thing about a plan is sometimes, like they used to say, hey, everybody's got a plan against Tyson until he gets punched in the face, right? Sometimes you gotta, sometimes the plan's not working.
Someone's gonna get bit.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta move with the, you gotta flow. You gotta move with the punches. So go ahead. Get off script.
Yeah, these Texans
are
just...
I broke my back.
Spinal.
Spinal.
They're just, I don't know, I'm enjoying watching the fight between you and the Texters. Here's one. Whoa, stinky. I didn't say put Rodgers here. I said put the Denver roster in Green Bay, and they still win 12. Maybe you need your granddaughter Quinn to read the text for you, because clearly you're not getting it. Quinn is very smart.
Who she is very, very smart.
Very smart.
Very smart. So what's the difference between putting Rodgers on our roster or moving our roster up to Green Bay? It's still our roster, right?
Yes.
Because the Chargers and the Raiders are juggernauts?
I've seen this guy's text before. He firmly believes that there is no difference between the Broncos roster and Green Bay and Seattle's, other than the quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's fine. You know what? He doesn't study rosters. He didn't study the game. I mean, you can believe that. It's not true. Like, I get, well, okay, stink. There's no real, hey, same roster last year in Tampa, only won 7 games, 7-9. Brady comes in, and they're playing in the NFC Championship. And he goes, it's at least worth 3 games. Yeah, I'll give you 3 games. That gets us to 8. Oh, by the way, if you go back to last year, and I called a bunch of Tampa games last year with Jameis Winston, do remember, with that roster that you're talking about, Jameis Winston, on his own, turned the ball over, wait for it, 39 times. And they still won 7 games. 39 times. 30 interceptions and 9 lost fumbles. And they still went 7-9. So you do understand, like, if he just turns it over 15 times, they probably win 12 games. 11 anyhow. So stop that the rosters are the same. They're not close to being the same.
Okay. We've established that. You've established your opinion. I don't think that's going to change some minds of people, but there you go. Now, moving forward. George Payton, I thought he was outstanding yesterday. I really, really like this hire. I think he's got the, at least first impressions, he seems to have the right kind of temperament for what the Broncos need right now. No frills. Keep your cards close to your vest. Just go and work. Let's start putting this thing together. But there was one little teeny bit red flag that was raised for me when he said this.
You know, GM, it's interesting because I have a lot of friends who are GMs, and it never consumed me to be a GM. You know, it didn't. I like winning, and I like the day to day, and I like working with people. Was a GM in the back of my mind, sure, but I didn't think about it during the season. You know, I just want to win, no matter where I was. I don't care what my role was. I don't care if I was an intern, a pro director. My job last year, you know, was clearly focused on winning. I'm honored to be a GM. I mean, it is really cool, but it didn't consume me the day to day.
All right. So, like I said, tiny red flag, not giant red flag, tiny red flag, but it kind of gave me a quick little shiver, deja vu. I've been here before, reminder of when Vic Fangio came out and said, yeah, I was never obsessed with being a head coach. And now we kind of wonder. Maybe why over the last 2 years? Any concern for you that, you know, this is a guy who's like, he didn't come out yesterday. You know what? It's been my dream to be a GM. I've wanted to run an NFL team for years. This is something I've always wanted to work to. He was kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm here, but it wasn't something that
I have a completely
I felt I had to do.
I have a completely different read on that.
Okay.
Completely.
What is it?
My read is that this guy loves the work. This guy is not driven by ego. He's driven by the work and doing the work. And so it wasn't like, if I don't get a GM job, like, he's had chances to be a GM. He turned them down because he didn't feel like they were the right time or the right fit, or that is admirable. And I know this business well enough to know, like I say this all the time, you think the egos are big downstairs in the locker room? Walk upstairs. Like the egos are out of control from a coaching standpoint, from a general manager standpoint. There are some
people in this league that are just like, oh my Lord. I get that. And I totally agree with you. But wouldn't you like to perhaps see a little bit more drive and ambition to operate the top spot?
Drive and ambition is to do the work. Like that, there is.
But do the work for somebody else, or do the work for yourself.
Well, you're ultimately doing the work for somebody else, right? I mean, ultimately you're doing the work for the Denver Broncos. Ultimately you're doing the work for Mr. Bolin's legacy. Obviously you're doing, like, that to me is important. And understanding.
Well, now it is, but I'm saying sure. Before he wasn't necessarily, he wasn't doing it just for, you know, himself with his name on it. He was doing it for somebody else. He was reporting to Rick Spielman.
Right. And he was, and what did Rick Spielman say about him? Rick Spielman spoke glowingly about his work ethic and his inclusiveness and all the things that he did to get himself to this point. That to me is to be praised. That's to be honored, not to be, I'm not going to pick that apart and say, well, maybe he wasn't ambitious enough.
Look, like I'm saying, it's not a huge deal. It's just something that,
sometimes climbers
just kind of was like, okay, that
sometimes
seemed a little odd.
Sometimes climbers are climbing on the backs of other people. And I don't want to be associated with that person. I want to be associated with a person that's doing the work, who's earned the opportunity and appreciates that opportunity.
Coming up, four down territory, there is still the matter of the Vic Fangio role in all of this. It continues to be kind of a head-scratcher. We'll exhaust that next. I heard that. Next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal file, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, Brad. First down.
I truly believe that everyone needs to feel like they're part of something. They have ownership within whatever they're doing, whether it's a football team, whether it's a law firm. And if they're doing the work, they need to be heard. But you really have to listen and take everyone's opinion before you make a decision. And so if everyone feels like they're part of something, then I think you're going to get their best. If you empower your employees, I think you're going to get their best. And so that's my guiding principle, trying to get everyone together.
Hey, for me, strong first impressions of George Payton. I thought he came across real strong yesterday. Now we're left to watch and see what he actually does. But in the meantime, we speculate. Try to read between the lines. Try to get a feel. And I love talking to you about it because you've actually done Vikings games. You've talked to Rick Spielman.
Uh-huh.
You've talked to Gary Kubiak. You've talked to Mike Zimmer. So you got a pretty strong sense of who the Vikings are, which maybe gives us a pretty good indication of what Payton might be like in the early going. So boil it down. What's his philosophy when it comes to building a team? What's he looking for?
Well, if you're looking at where he came from and what the philosophical approach to the franchise was, well, it's being able to dominate, run the ball. Takes a ton of pressure off your quarterback, takes a ton of pressure. If you win six, you go to the playoffs six times with six different quarterbacks, you have a philosophical approach that we're going to run the ball. We are going to make sure that we can dominate the line of scrimmage. And then defensively, the same thing. You look at their Mike Zimmer said this was the worst defense he's ever been a part of. And you look at what happened to them. They lost guys in free agency up front. They lost guys to injuries in their front seven. And guess what happened to you? You became a below average, even a poor defense. So that's really what they believe in Minnesota. What they know is going to give them a chance. Listen, very much like what we face here, right? We've got we've got a unicorn in our division in Patrick Mahomes. Minnesota has a unicorn in their division. They've had it for the last three decades. It went from Favre to Aaron Rodgers. So they understand what they have to do. They've got to build a more complete team because you're not going to out-quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, it's not going to happen. We're not going to all of a sudden sprinkle some magic dust on Drew Lock or get somebody else here that's going to out-quarterback Patrick Mahomes. It's not going to happen.
Great point.
Great. Yeah, boy, that's an awesome point. I mean, suddenly the prospect of dealing with the boogeyman for the next 15 years doesn't seem so bad. When you consider the Vikings, Bears, and Lions have been doing it for 30.
Yeah.
My condolences to fans of all those teams. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
That was the key thing, is he wanted to be great at what he does, and he also wants to have the resources and the ability to do what he wants to do. And I think that he saw that in Denver. He has that opportunity, and we're thrilled that he took the job.
Did you come away feeling better, worse, or about the same going in about John Elway's role and how it fits and whether it'll be an issue at all?
Yeah, now I felt good going in. I feel even better coming out. I mean, like, John is here to support and to do his thing, I think from a bit of a distance. And, you know, and to be ultimately to be a consultant, to be one of the voices in the room that this is what I think, but not to be domineer. We're going in this direction. Like, he's going to allow George to do his job. I don't think he wants to. Hey, there's a reason he stepped aside. He didn't want to do that job. He didn't want to do it. Good. I think it makes sense to me. I think it's perfect.
I thought it was good the way he said, I'd like to provide the kind of input that I would want to get if and when I was a general manager, which I thought spoke volumes right there. Like, I know what I'd want to get as a general manager, but understanding as that general manager, okay, I appreciate the input, but it's still my call.
Right.
Thank you for the input. And now he's sliding into that role now. So yeah. I have no worries at all about whether or not John Elway's going to be some sort of a problem. I think he'll be an asset. And that's good. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
That's just life in the NFL. He might have to, but I'm not worried about that in any shape or form. I know he's not either, and we're going to do everything we can to make the 2021 Broncos a winning team.
Now, this is the part of it that I'm still kind of scratching my head about. Because, boy, you listen to the Peyton, you listen to Vic. I mean, this sounds like a collaborative effort. Is it really a collaborative effort when we all seem to agree that he's coaching for his job next year?
I think that Vic Fangio is a really good football guy. Maybe he's not the best at clock management. Maybe he's not. But he understands what wins. He understands defense. He understands what wins defensively. He understands what he has a tough time defending. So there are value. There's a value. There's a ton of value there. He's been doing it, and he's been great on the defense side of the ball for 30 years in this league. So the very least, he should be able to give you great input and insight into what he needs, at least on the defensive side of the ball, to be competitive. What a middle linebacker should look like. What an outside edge guy should look like. What a three technique should look like. Come on, just look at the Chicago. Look at Chicago with the players they have, whether it was Khalil Mack off the edge or Leonard Floyd off the edge, Roquan Smith inside, Danny Trevathan. If only we could get players like Danny Trevathan here. You know, I mean, he understands what they have. Their inside presence. Belisle was Goldman is a good player. The nose guard, Belisle is a really good player. Oh gosh, Akeem, what's the name?
Akeem Hicks?
Yeah, Hicks. Yeah. The defensive tackle is a phenomenal player. Eddie Jackson's a really good, like, he knows what he needs at those positions. So there's a ton of value there.
Next in fourth down territory.
Fourth down.
I really don't have any injuries to talk about other than Patrick's, and he's in protocol there. So, and we'll just follow that and see how he does here the next couple of days.
Our that's Andy Reid, our NFL ESPN insider Adam Schefter, saying that Patrick Mahomes cleared some, quote, big steps yesterday, but still remains in the concussion protocol. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you want to be able to watch Patrick Mahomes on Sunday, even if it probably means the Chiefs win? Or would you rather watch the Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes and quite possibly lose?
No, I want to watch Patrick Mahomes play.
Okay.
By the way, this is an important note.
Me too, by the way.
An important note here.
Yes.
Point of order. He was in concussion protocol. He was never officially diagnosed with a concussion. You realize that, right? There was no official word of him having a concussion. Why is that? Well, it's important because he was never diagnosed with it. He's in the concussion protocol. When you lose your ability, when you get wobbly like that, this goes back to a game I actually called in Houston with a backup quarterback who went, he had that concussive response when you go stiff, you know, and they put him back in the game. And long story short, the NFL reacted to that. When you lose your ability in your limbs to function, you're automatically taken out of the game. You're done. And you enter concussion protocol. It does not necessarily mean that you had a concussion. And so,
but well, that's semantics. You still have to come back from
clear
all the tests that go along with a concussion.
Clear all the concussion protocol. But I think that based upon that, I think Adam Schefter said he cleared several steps yesterday. So meaning you can fast track through, I think, a little bit quicker. You still have to go through the protocol, but I think you can fast track a little bit more. I just don't think there's any way that Patrick Mahomes doesn't play this weekend is what I'm telling you.
By the way, one quick fifth down, Charles Johnson special, in case you haven't heard. Philip Rivers has retired. 17 years in the NFL, all those years but one with the Chargers. A guy that we came to love and hate. I think ultimately respect here in Denver. But
Eight Pro Bowls. Fifth all-time in touchdowns and passing yards. Mike won't put him in the Hall of Fame, though. Not quite good enough for Mike to go to the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Very Good.
He's not quite a Hall of Famer.
Would you at least give me...
Mike's pulling Dan Fouts out of the Hall of Fame, Dan Marino out of the Hall of Fame.
No, Marino went to a Super Bowl. Fouts went to a Super Bowl, didn't he?
No.
Fouts didn't go to a Super Bowl?
No, heavens no.
Who was the quarterback when they...
Stan Humphries.
Was Humphries the quarterback of that team?
Stan Humphries was the quarterback of that team.
All right. All right.
Mike's a stickler.
Rivers will go in the Hall of Fame. not first ballot, yes. Though, right?
All right.
Not first ballot.
No.
Okay.
Fair enough. We've struck an accord.
We have found common ground.
Yes.
We find Troy Rake. He joins us next. All right, let us welcome in our Channel 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Rake. He's presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, let's just start off right with the George Payton press conference. What'd you take? What was a major takeaway from that press conference for you?
Yeah, for a guy who's never done a press conference in his life, I was impressed. He's ready, Mark. I mean, I take that. I mean, the guy who's for 25 years has done everything you can really do in a front office, from an intern to an advanced scout to an assistant general manager, to a guy who's overseen an analytics department. He's ready. And he has zero ego about him. He's just a worker. He's a guy who wants to work and have people feel like they can take ownership. And I love the fact that he wants to draft and develop as the foundation, because when you do that and do it well, it creates resources. It allows you to get guys back on a second contract, and it puts you in position to be in trade talks, because you do have young players succeeding. So you can use draft picks as commodities to move up and down. So I like the message I heard from him.
Yeah, you know, it's been one of the criticisms that we've had, or that I've had, of the Broncos from a draft and develop standpoint, the lack of second contract signed and the, you know, futility of first rounders, second rounders, third rounders here. So from a draft and develop standpoint, what is the key? What would you say his philosophy is when it comes to draft and develop those guys, and how is he going to be successful doing that here?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part, because if he were to fulfill like the 6-year contract, it'd be easy to say, this is going to succeed. Because of the uncertainty of ownership, Joe Ellis and John Elway leaving likely after this season, it does complicate it. But what he did in Minnesota as part of Rick Spielman's team, if you listen to it, is they draft guys that they believe are Minnesota Vikings. They fit a template and a profile. And the teams that have drafted the best, you look at the Steelers, you look at teams like the Vikings, even the Chiefs in recent seasons, there's continuity, number one. And the second part of that is they don't have a lot of turnover throughout their coaching staffs. So when they draft a guy, they know how he's going to fit, because they know how he's going to be coached. And that's when we talked about the lack of continuity for the Broncos, 5 offensive coordinators in 5 years prior to the season. It just creates this island of misfit toys. So I'm fascinated to see if this will work. He doesn't have 6 years to turn it around. He acknowledged that. But the philosophy by itself can work. It's, can he get what a Denver Bronco looks like? Can he get the coaching staff to figure that out? Can they all get on the same page and aligned? Which at times, their drafts have been better the last couple of years, but for, you know, 3-4 years there, they weren't aligned, and it created these empty spots in the roster.
Visit with Troy Rank. Okay, so we heard him talk at length a number of times about draft and develop. We talked about how he likes to acquire as many picks as possible, quote, more darts to be able to throw at the board was the word that he used. So did that sound to you like somebody who right off the bat is prepared to use the 9th overall pick in a trade for a quarterback?
You know, if it's for Deshaun Watson, I would say yes. I just they're going to kick the tires on that. They have to. I'd say 23 teams should be kicking the tires on that. And he's not going to just see that as a possibility and not call. Now, I don't know that it's realistic because the 9th pick overall would be the centerpiece of that deal. The Jets have the 2nd pick. You know, the Dolphins have a higher pick. They have Tua Tagovailoa. So the Broncos wouldn't on paper have the best package to send. And everyone will just keep throwing in ones. Well, if Watson's good, those first round picks become from like 18th to like 27. They're not great picks. So you'd have to be able to move that 9th to the 5th or 4th to be in that conversation. I don't know in his first season if he would be willing to give up that much draft collateral given where the roster is right now. But I do think they're going to be in on trades. I don't know what I mean, listen, I would put my chips to the table for Watson, but as a first-year GM with a bunch of holes in my roster, that's a tough decision because they have plenty of things they need to fix. And just getting Watson, while they would be better, clearly, it wouldn't fix everything. But I think he's going to move. He's definitely going to be aggressive in the way he approaches the draft and moving around.
Well, I think you unwittingly stumbled into one of the big debates that we have going on today. It seems like there is a big gap out there among Broncos country as to how close or how far away this team is. I think there are some who look at the roster and say there are a lot of holes to be filled. There are others who quite honestly feel there's no difference between the Broncos roster and Green Bay's roster or Tampa's roster or Seattle's roster that a really good quarterback wouldn't instantly fix.
Well, listen, a really good quarterback puts Revlon on all blemishes. I mean, he changes your whole vibe and how you feel when you walk into the building every morning. That said, I mean, for those who want to say the Broncos are like the Packers or like the Bills, or they had 2 players get all pro votes. I mean, that should tell you you're a little shy on talent when only 2 of your guys get all pro votes. You had 2 pro bowlers. So all these other players, you can say, well, it's just because they're losing. All pro isn't. Pro Bowl is tied to winning, but all pro votes are the best players in the league. 2 of your players got all pro votes. You're short on talent. It's no crime. Just admit it. Admit who you are. They need at least 3 to 4 playmakers on defense. and they've got to get better play from the quarterback position, better help from the offense. But when you miss the playoffs by 6 games, you can't say you're close. Injuries would not solve that. I mean, you would be better, but let's just kind of take a step back and say hello and shake hands with reality here. You went 5-11, and it needed 11 wins to get in the playoffs. So, I mean, you've got intriguing players, intriguing talent, but one player wouldn't solve it. But I would say, in the case of Deshaun Watson, we never, ever, ever see a quarterback traded in his prime that's coming off a year where he led the league in passing, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, and his cap hit next year is $10.5 million. You could fix it in a large way with him, even if you gave up draft capital. It's complicated. You know, whether they will trade him, can you hold on? How long could you wait for that to happen? But listen, franchise quarterbacks don't get traded, so they would be way better with him. It would maybe be 8-8, 9-7, and then that second year, you like, okay, here we go.
Real quick, just on George Payton, what he's done in Minnesota, 6 different times they've gone to the playoffs with 6 different quarterbacks. So what does that, what do you infer, what do you take from that, and what do you think that he'll do in the quarterback, like at the quarterback position? Let's say that Watson doesn't leave Houston or doesn't come here. What can you garner from that?
Well, there's different avenues to success. That's not the most enviable one, 6 quarterbacks. With 6 different playoff teams in Minnesota, from Favre, I think, to Bradford, to Keenum. I mean, it's a eclectic group. So you can win, but you really have to be good around that player. You know, Favre was great for him the 1 year, you know, before it dissolved in the NFC Championship. But what I infer from it is there'll be competition. He's intrigued by Drew Locke's talent. Who wouldn't be? I like Drew's talent, his humility, his work ethic. He's just turned the ball over too much. He's been too inconsistent. With a full off season, could he fix that? Perhaps, but I think at the very least you'll see veteran competition. And what that looks like, I'm not sure. Again, if that's Dalton, if that's Brissett, is that Minshew, is that Fitzpatrick? I just think you're going to see veteran competition and someone that can protect them in case of injury and ineffectiveness.
Last one. What will Philip Rivers' Broncos legacy be?
Just talking smack. I mean, this guy talked more trash than the Sierra Club. That's all he did. And they never cursed. It's unbelievable.
Dadgum.
Never seen anyone like it. All he did was yap, yap, yap. He's a chihuahua yapping. But he never cursed. I liked him. He played the heel perfectly. I missed him when he left the division. I loved him when he was in the division. He was like the perfectly cast WWD heel. You literally wanted to punch him in the throat every time they played him. But I respected it. It was who he was. He was a really good player. Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know that he is. He's certainly going to be right there. But I loved that when he played the Broncos, when he's fighting with Jay Cutler and yelling. I just thought it was great theater. Absolute great theater.
All right, Troy. Great stuff as always. Thank you.
Yep.
Troy Rank, presented by ROX, Rocks, Heating, and Air. Uh-oh. Careful, Troy. You're going to incur Stink's wrath, questioning whether or not Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, you can question it. He is, but if you want to question it, you can be wrong with a lot of other people, like you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. This one from Nacho. He says, we'll get Christian Ponder 2.0 to compete with Drew Locke. Well, Christian Ponder was the 12th overall pick in the draft, so.
All you need is a running back to go for 2,100 yards, and you're playoff bound. That's what Christian Ponder did.
That's right. Adrian Peterson year.
2,100 yards. 10-6.
All right, I want to get to a question mark early because we got Joel Klatt joining us here in about 5 minutes.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.